The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You are, in fact, on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Friday. Happy January 2nd. And happy 2026. Man, we are pumped up to be here on what seems to be a little overcast Friday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. First show of 2026. And man, it feels good to be back in the studio. We've been off for a while. I've been off for even longer. And I did, in fact, have to look up directions to the radio station to be sure I knew where I was going. I did have to look up a YouTube tutorial to remember how to run everything in here. But we are on the air.
And it still failed.
I hope. Yeah, we're still off to a bumpy start. I hope we're on the air. Maybe we're not. I don't know. But happy Friday, everybody, and happy 2026. Man, we're pumped and have so much to go over today. It's unbelievable. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us. What's going on, man? Happy Friday.
Man, happy Friday. Happy 2026. What did we miss over the past couple of days, couple of weeks? I mean,
nothing.
We had the Monday-Tuesday show following the first round of the college football playoff and got our thoughts out for that, had our big-time rant for that as well. But after that, it's just been smooth sailing, right? I mean, from the Auburn standpoint, from the college football standpoint, just sports in general, very smooth sailing towards 2026. So should be a pretty relaxed show here this afternoon.
This Rice team is 5-7 in a bowl game. This is a problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure they got in because teams like Auburn declined their bowl invite, right? That's a problem.
Who was the team earlier in all the way back in 2025? Finished 5-8. It was one of they're one of the very few, again that never
their regular season was 5-8.
No, they're 5-7, but lost, and so they hit their final record was 5-8, and it's a record that has happened like 20 times ever.
Oh,
like Rice is staring down the barrel of 5-8, which is again records that you just don't
see. No, you don't see that very often. Well, we are not going to spend the day talking about Rice and Texas State. We are in fact going to spend the day talking about a lot of different topics, because we told you going into the break that there was going to be a ton happening on this January 2nd. And it's true. We have more reactions from the college football playoff from New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We are down to the final four of the college football playoff. So we'll talk all about that, how Alabama just got drugged by Indiana. Georgia blew it against Ole Miss, even though the Rebels tried to blow it themselves. You had Oregon take care of business and much more there. Miami taking down Ohio State, which I just hated to see. I mean, man. Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State all lost within a 24-hour period. Man, I was just so sad to see it happen, man. We'll talk about that. Okay, we will.
And Penn State won for you, too. So, I mean, your year could not be off to a better start.
I'm just on cloud nine because of all those things. We're also going to talk college basketball because, knock, knock, wake up. SEC play starts tomorrow, in case you forgot, because a lot of us did. And so we'll talk about that as Auburn hits the road to take on Georgia tomorrow afternoon in Athens. We'll talk about that, preview that, and what the SEC could look like in 2026. But, of course, today is the day that everybody has been waiting on. And we've been talking about it for, most. We've been talking about it.
We knew it was fastly approaching. I don't know.
Yeah.
Auburn fans have no choice but to be excited for it.
Yeah. We've been talking about it for well over a month, if not longer than that, because of guys already deciding to enter the portal late November, right? But the transfer portal is officially open. It's been open for about 14 hours now, and it has been as crazy as advertised with guys. Did I see the number? Over 3,000 players are entering the transfer portal right now, and you've got guys who are already setting up visits. I haven't seen any major commitments yet, but a lot of guys who are setting up visits, several guys entering the portal who have a do not contact clause, which is my favorite part of portal season.
Which is so funny because the most recent one was Sam Levitt from Arizona State, who entered with a do not contact clause. About an hour and a half ago, there were reports that Kentucky is now involved in the search. And it's like,
are they really?
Yes. But
because Cutter Bowley entered the portal for
correct,
Kentucky.
But it's like, then what does the do not contact tag mean?
It's stupid.
Do not
but
contact me unless your offer is higher.
Correct. And so the portal is open. It runs from today through January 16th. Now, let's make some clarifications here, okay? The transfer portal runs for the next 2 weeks. That 2 weeks means you have to enter in the next 2 weeks. You do not have to be committed somewhere within the next 2 weeks by January 16th. It's probably highly recommended, but you don't have to. You just have to have your name and your paperwork and all of that stuff entered into the transfer portal. And obviously, there is a ton of news around college football, around the SEC, and here in Auburn about the transfer portal. And we're going to talk about all of that. And we want to hear from you. This is a free-for-all Friday to a T. Pure definition of free-for-all Friday today. And so if you're out there and you've missed being hearing us on the radio and talking about what's going on and all the different things, we want to hear from you in several different ways. The phone lines are open all show long. All right, give us a call. We want to hear from you here to start 2026, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 is the call-in number, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we got a text, and it says, did I not get the memo? I was told Jacob wouldn't be back until Monday. Or told you wouldn't be back till Monday. So maybe that's talking about us in general. Did you lie to the people?
I don't believe
Christian,
so.
Christian, did you lie? Did you mislead them? It says, I was told you wouldn't be back until Monday. So I don't know if that's me or you or us. I thought we did a pretty good job of telling people we'd be back on Friday.
Surprise.
Happy
we
Friday.
We just knew that today was such a special day that we just had to come on the airwaves and bring a bonus episode.
Nah, this was always the plan. Now, obviously, the holidays get crazy, and I don't know if people are working today, not working today. Some are, some aren't. I don't know. But we are. We're here, and we're happy to do so. And then, of course, Monday, we're back in normal schedule. Yeah. We'll be here for quite some time after that. And so, again, you can give us a call, 334-321-1390, or shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we will get to the Auburn stuff because it is crazy, right? You have, what is it, 31
as of this morning. Yeah.
31 planned exits for Auburn into the transfer portal, but some big names have announced their return for Auburn, which we'll get to here in just a moment. But when you look at the lists, right, because all the outlets now have their top 50 transfer portal players, right, depending on their position and things like that. Names that stick out to you, Christian, on who is now entering or in the transfer portal, the hot names for you, whether it's a name or where they're leaving or where they could be going, just some of the things you've seen early on.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is obviously when you're looking at Brennan Sorsby, who I know is locked down. A couple of visits from Cincinnati. I know that that's somebody that you are very, very high on in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I love that guy.
We mentioned Sam Levitt here a few moments ago from Arizona State. You heard very recently that Avery Johnson is returning to Kansas State.
Yes, and so, Pete Thamel reported that about 5-10 minutes ago.
You feel like over these next couple of weeks, you're going to have to do a lot of clicking, but reading after you click on the post if you have your notifications on for all of these people that cover college football, because for all you know, the graphic shows one thing, and it shows locking down visits, making visits, canceling visits, making commitments, signing, or staying. And there are so many different ways that every single graphic can go, and Avery Johnson, the Kansas State quarterback, being the most recent that I've heard of that is returning to his program. Obviously, again, we weren't able to dive too much into it, and kind of will. There's no way we're going to be able to hit on everything today in a two-hour time frame, but we'll talk a little bit more on specifics for players that are transferring out of Auburn, either later on next week or once they find their future home. We'll talk a little bit about them, but Cam Coleman obviously being the talk of college football. Texas is the most recent school that is trying to get Cam Coleman to Austin, and I know his agent is a Texas grad, and there's so many different ways that you can dive into all of that information. But man, the amount of quarterbacks that are entering the portal, which understandably so. I mean, it's a quarterback's game now, especially in the world of college football. There's so many different guys that are going to be making so many different homes. And then obviously, for the Auburn standpoint, every single receiver that enters, you pay a little bit more attention to as well, just for the idea of them coming to the Plains.
Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks that are in the transfer portal right now or have announced their intention to enter the portal, right? It just opened today, so guys haven't officially entered. Some of them have not officially entered just yet, but Sam Levitt mentioned him. Byron Brown, of course, Auburn fans have their eyes on him, the South Florida quarterback.
Yeah, he's been crystal ball too, which is hopefully good news.
I mean, it's a big deal. 6'3", 193. He was a four-star coming out and a top-10 guy, according to On3 in their transfer portal rankings.
No hate whatsoever. Again, put emotions to the side just looking at statistics. How is Byron Brown below Deuce Knight when it comes to...
What one are you on? I see he's way above on 3.
Okay, I'm looking at 24/7 then, listed slightly above Byron Brown.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, On 3 says Byron Brown's a 7th overall player in the transfer portal.
That sounds a little bit more understandable.
Yeah, which, I mean, these things change by the minute, literally.
And again, the numbers of your transfer portal rankings and your star levels and things like, so many different ways to go about it, but
yeah
the amount of quarterbacks, the fact that you have to scroll down a little bit to find Josh Hoover, Rocco Beck, guys like that.
Drew Mestermaker's in there, the nation's leading passer this year in passing yards from North Texas. I saw he picked up a crystal ball to, I believe, Oklahoma State.
Isn't that where the North Texas head coach took the job?
Right. I think that's right. That would make, obviously, a lot
of
sense.
Because it was that, and then it was more of the fact of, I'm surprised that if that's the jump that he wants to make to go to Oklahoma State rather than taking a chance at one of the bigger schools, or one of the bigger schools taking a chance on him. We've heard about DJ Lagway and Riola.
There was some report that came out today about Lagway, about Baylor. how about that?
For those, again, this is already a free-for-all Friday episode, but it's going to be even more so, basically exactly what we're talking about. We have our show rundown, but we both have our phone notifications on, so any news that's revolves around Auburn, we will dive into, maybe not happily.
Yeah, we'll at least talk about it. Yeah, and the one now is from Hayes Fawcett, says that Auburn transfer wide receiver Malcolm Simmons is set to visit Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Kentucky. He would eat in the Texas A&M offense. He would probably eat in the Arkansas offense. And we have no idea what the Kentucky offense is going to look like with Will Stein taking over, who was Oregon's what? Offensive coordinator. So,
and that is why Sam Levitt is interested in Kentucky.
Oh, dude, could you imagine Sam Levitt and Malcolm Simmons together?
And you know they'd go get another
decent name,
too.
Because, you know, we know what Malcolm is. Malcolm is your speedster guy. Give it to him in space and let him outrun everybody and maybe juke him once or twice. They would still need a 50-50 guy, a big guy, go up and throw down the
your
sideline.
Your possession receiver rather than your slot burner.
God, man, that's so crazy. So, yeah, other big names, quarterback. I mean, Josh Hoover, a lot of ties to Indiana for him. Talked about Lagway. I saw he's being tied to, I think, Missouri, Baylor.
Baylor makes sense.
And a couple of other schools in there.
Again, that's so close to home for him.
Yeah, it is. So,
and that's name to keep an eye on just from the standpoint of Auburn's schedule in 2026.
Yeah, you're right about that. So tons of names in there, man, for all different positions. And we'll talk about it for several weeks, right, as they all enter and these guys start to find a new home. But I do want to dive in to what's happening with Auburn, because the last 2 weeks have been a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And fans have been up in arms. And understandably so, when you start losing big names like Cam Coleman and Deuce Knight, fans don't really like to see those things. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Just underway on the Friday edition of On the Line. First show of the year. Come on in, be a part of it. We'd love to hear your thoughts at 334-321-1390. We're back right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you being here. Hope you had a happy new year, happy holidays as well, as we are back in action on this Friday, of course, off for the weekend, and then back in full swing on Monday. And talking about the transfer portal, right, where there's tons of news outside of Auburn, but a lot of news in Auburn as well, with over 30 players announced their intentions to enter the transfer portal. Many of them already have, right? And I don't think this is a situation for Auburn where you see somebody enter their name in the portal or intend to enter their name in the portal, and then they decide to come back to Auburn. I think with a new head coach, right, this is a different conversation where Golish and company walk in and say, all right, what's going on here? How do we want to handle this? What do we want to do? And when the decision is made, feels like that's the final decision rather than negotiating and things like that, which is why you see names like Cam Coleman in the transfer portal, because they had conversations about playing time in the system and money and things like that. And the decisions that were made seem to be the final decisions. And so over 30 players for Auburn expected to leave in the portal, and the two big names that happened while we were away is Cam Coleman and Deuce Knight. And we'll get to that in a moment, but there is a very important question for you, Christian.
Uh-oh.
In the text box, our man Eric wants to know, he says, the most important question while we were gone is, did you enjoy the ending to Stranger Things?
Ha! Ooh, how much time do we have? From the standpoint of everything wrapping up, like the last 45 or 50 minutes or whatever, sure. But the actual ending, not at all. It is not It is not what the fans truly deserved. It felt as if it was a let me collect my check and get out.
Wow.
And again, for the casual viewer, it was everything that you could have asked for. And from the standpoint of me essentially growing up with those kids, I mean, this started when I was a sophomore in high school, and seeing the endings of them growing up and walking away and doing what they were doing for the final time, sure, that was the heartfelt, the heartstrings. But after everything that happened, and all of a sudden, there's so many holes in the entire storyline.
You're not doing a good sell job of trying to get me to watch this if the ending sucks.
It's not going to work anyways. We'll just watch 1 through 4, which was incredible. But, yeah, having 3 years to write season 5 and film season 5, it felt very social media baity of let me post this minute-long clip of this happening. And for it to be four and a half seasons of you, or I guess 3.5 seasons of trying to figure out who the true villain is, and then essentially a season of trying to figure out if he's the main villain or if there's something else, and how nothing can kill him and he dies to a tooth.
Wow.
Spends all of...
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Dang.
Yeah.
We didn't give any warning or anything.
No,
you just
not
spoiled
at all.
The whole ending.
It's one episode.
Dang, man. That's crazy.
Talking about Mike here.
Golly. That's wild. All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, no, he did not enjoy it is what it sounds like to me. So,
again, just that was all a lot and nothing actually.
Yeah. Hope you didn't want to watch it.
Yeah. Through. Yeah.
Man.
My fault, guys.
Man. Well, I'm in the belief of. With TV and streaming and things nowadays, if you haven't seen it already.
If you haven't seen it a day, I mean, yes. Yeah.
So, anyways, back to the transfer portal for Auburn. We have a question in the text box. Again, you can hit us up there at 334-784-1067 to text us a comment, question, or concern, or you can cuss Christian out for spoiling the ending of Stranger Things,
yeah.
Or you can give us a call at 334-321-1390 on this free-for-all Friday, asking how many South Florida players do we think end up at Auburn via the transfer portal? And I think we're both in agreement, maybe not a specific number, but I think double digits.
I think that's
almost a given, right, with a coaching change nowadays. I mean, you look at how this works, and coordinators leaving to be a head coach is a little bit different. They don't have as much pull, right? Will Stein, sorry to keep going back to that example, but Will Stein leaving Oregon as the OC to go and be the head coach at Kentucky, breaking news here. He ain't dragging Dante Moore to Lexington, okay? He's not going to bring a bunch of guys from Eugene to Lexington. But a head coach moving from one place to the other, yeah, I think Alex Golish and company will bring double-digit players to Auburn, a lot of them being offensive, I think. So my number, if I had to pick one, I'll say like 12 would be my kind of prediction there.
To be fair, Dan Lanning might not even get Dante Moore back.
Yeah, there is. I mean, yeah, he's still top five in NFL draft boards right now.
There's people saying he's one or two just because of the.
I mean, it's him and Mendoza.
Pure athleticism. Yeah.
Mendoza's
a little bit more of the system guy, and Dante Moore, you feel like, has a little bit more freedom in the offense from the creativity standpoint.
Yeah, but I think for Auburn, getting South Florida guys, I think 12 would be my number, give or take.
Yeah, again, my number was 10 to 15, and it's not necessarily going to be the ones that light up the social media platforms or light up these 247 on three
outside
boards.
Of one or two of them. Maybe.
Right, other than Byron Brown, and I mean, if we're at the point of hoping that Keyshawn Singleton and a couple of their other tight ends that had some really good years. I know that we had jokes about it after South Florida played their bowl game. It felt like everybody in Auburn was taking notes of, okay, that guy had a pretty solid bowl game. Let's bring him in. Yeah, I would imagine anywhere from 10 to 15. And if it's more, it's more. If it's less, that just means there's a little bit more work that needs to be done elsewhere in the portal.
Yeah, and so right now, a constructed list of players who are planning on leaving Auburn via the transfer portal, okay? I'm running through all of them. As far as I know, I think even this list that you sent me, I'm trying to see because there's another one. Yeah, I don't even think this guy's on there unless I'm overlooking him. James Ash is in the transfer portal now.
When was that?
That was today. That was some point today. I don't think he's on this list.
So, yeah, up to 32 then.
There's another one. Tay Seymour was another one that entered today. So, so even this list that
33.
We have. 33. Yeah, so 33. Is that the count now? 33. So, Tay Seymour, the safety. James Ash, the defensive lineman. I'll work my way in reverse here. Preston Howard, the tight end, which, you know.
Entered
the portal. Sam Turner, the wide receiver. That one hurts. That one was tough to see.
That one was very hurt. That was somebody that, again, I had heard a lot about just being from Atlanta, hearing a lot about him in high school and how he was one of the more underrated prospects. And seeing him in A-Day, seeing him the talent that he had, there was a lot of potential there. So that one, yeah, that one hurts.
The 1-2 punch of Cam Coleman, Deuce Knight, that one, I mean, to get those within the time frame that we got them was tough. It was, right? Dylan Senda, Kinsley Lidor, Faustin, Cam Etheridge, Xavier Chaplin, Donovan Starr. That one hurts because I like Donovan Starr. I thought he had potential. Robert Woodyard, Kay and Lee, that one hurt really bad too. Ashton Daniels, we saw that one. Amaris Williams, Jamonta Waller, Towns Magoo, Malik Blockton, Jay Crawford, Seth Wilfrid, Favor Edwin, DeAndre Carter. That one's big too. Caleb Wheatland, Antonio Coleman, Amon Lane Gaines, Rayon Strader, Hollis Davidson, Damari Austin, Cameron King, Horatio Fields, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, and Jackson Arnold. The running list of Auburn players who are or have already enter the transfer portal from the Auburn Tigers.
Did that include, hold on, were you looking at the one that I sent you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Never mind. Yeah, he was on there.
Yeah. And again, the two additions today are Tay Seymour and James Ash. So 33, I believe, is the number right now for Auburn. But
33 to 6, I believe, as of now.
But the 6 that are returning is pretty remarkable. And they're all on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, which makes more and more sense the more that you look at it, right? DJ Durkin kept his guys, and you allow Alex Golish, the offensive mind, to go get who he wants. We talked about Xavier Atkins, but DeMarcus Riddick.
Huge.
Malik Autry.
Huge.
Jordan Crawford.
Huge.
Elijah Melendez.
Love it.
And Bryce Diaz.
Love it.
The linebacker room that we had questions about going into last season now might be the best part of your whole entire team.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And so the transfer portal is an ever-changing event that we will continue to cover as the show goes on and the weeks and months go on as well. But we're going to transition a little bit and talk about what's been going on around college football because the playoffs have been pretty awesome. We talk about that and react to that coming up next.
Into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you being here as we flip gears a little bit and talk about the college football playoffs. Because, Christian, you had a chance when you were here, what days was that? Monday and Tuesday before Christmas, right?
Yes.
To discuss the first round of the college football playoffs. And I won't really give any major thoughts there since that's been so long ago. More so on the quarterfinal games from New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Because as a whole, right now, okay, I think this has been a pretty good college football playoffs. Right, there have obviously been some blowouts like the Oregon-James Madison game and the Ole Miss-Tulane game and you know, the one from yesterday, which was so awesome. But there's also been some pretty good ones. Alabama-Oklahoma in the first round was good. Miami-Texas A&M was disgusting but close and good.
Yeah, it was. We talked about that, yeah, on Monday of how you couldn't have gotten two different of a college football playoff from two games, from Alabama-Oklahoma to Miami-Texas A&M, but they still fell into the category of great games.
And then the quarterfinals between New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, yes, there were two – there was one blowout, right? There was one domination. Well, there was one blowout, two dominations, because if you watched Oregon and Texas Tech, the Ducks dominated them.
Yeah.
Made them look silly. Made them look bad.
Texas Tech's defense was just good enough to hold a couple of field goals.
Yeah, and I think it shows that maybe the Big 12 was overvalued a little bit in what Texas Tech was able to do. Still a very good team.
Yes.
And still dangerous for years to come because of the money that's being funneled through there right now. But I think overall the college football playoffs up to this point have been pretty entertaining, I think.
This year has been a little bit different, and for those that tuned in, the loyal listeners that listened to my giant rant on Monday, I dove into a lot of those numbers Monday from what, 2.5 weeks ago?
Yeah, literally before Christmas,
And getting back to, I want to dive, it's funny you mentioned that, I want to dive into some of these stats just one final time and get your thoughts on them, because it's very, very much out there, and I'm very vocal about being a major anti-expansionist that...
Oh, I am too.
I did not necessarily agree with the expansion, and now we're basically going to expand again because we thought two more teams maybe deserve to be in the college football playoff. Diving into some of these, of the 30 games that were played in the four-team college football playoff, right, you had the two quarterfinal games and the one national championship for a decade. You had those 30 games. Of the 30 games, how many do you think were one-score games? Of the college football playoff from 2014 to 2023.
Were one-score games.
Yeah, we're the 30. We're close and really good games.
I would say 20.
10.
Really?
10 one-score games of the 30.
Wow.
Which goes to show you my exact thoughts of, maybe we really know the national champions. Maybe there really are two clear and cut teams because it took a decade of Florida State and maybe Georgia being left out of the four-team playoff for the expansion.
Yeah.
Okay. Your argument, Jacob, is, yeah, but, you know, late field goals, late touchdowns, kind of like what Ohio State did, letting Miami score so that way they could get it back. Like, how many of those? How many of those games? I guess this kind of won't ask this in a question because I've already kind of answered it. You take the 10 games that were one-score games.
Mm-hmm.
You could only add five more of the 20 remaining that were less than 17-point wins.
Right. So a lot of blowouts is what
you're
saying.
So half of the games in the college football playoff were 17-point wins or more. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
When you're looking at the amount of teams that argue that should be in the college football playoff, 67% of the games in the four-team were double-digit wins. Last year in the 12-team playoff, two of the 11 were one-score games. So going into this weekend, you add those 11 games to the 30, make it 41. The four first-round games make it 45. 13 games since the college football playoff era began had been one-score games. 13 of the 45. And now what? You go look at the college football playoff brackets, and you get to add one more.
And I was going to make the argument that that number would probably have grown in the last 5 or 6 years because of the portal and NIL, but not really. Not really.
You are now at 14 of the 49 games that have been played in the college football playoff era being one-score games.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yet we're about to expand again.
And add more teams.
More undeserving teams for a chance to play for the college football playoff national championship.
What's so crazy about that stat, though, Christian, is those aren't just blowouts in the first round like an Ole Miss versus Tulane where there's clear advantages. I mean, look at what happened yesterday. The 4 and 5 seed played each other, and the 5 seed just manhandled Texas Tech for 4 quarters.
Yeah.
Manhandled them. Made them look like they didn't belong on the same field. And that's
and then we said, ain't no way it could get worse.
And Indiana embarrassed Alabama. Embarrassed them to the point that fans don't even know how to react. They were in shock. They weren't even online or anywhere. They were silent. They shut themselves in their rooms with the lights off and put themselves under the covers. They didn't know what to do. They cried themselves to sleep last night because Indiana handed Alabama one of the worst losses in its program history. Worst loss by the score since 1998.
Yep, 1998.
1998 was the last time that Alabama took a beating like that. And it was to Indiana.
Who is now going to spend their second week ever as the number one team in the country.
By Indiana. You had the ESPN broadcast saying it was embarrassing. And that's what happened. And I'm not using this as a full platform to pick on Alabama, but it's true. because of what happened in the playoff. And then you had, yeah, like you said, an example like Miami, Ohio State. Yes, Miami beat them by 10. That was a one field goal game. I mean, yes. Literally, Ohio State let them score at the end. But to your point, I agree. Expansion is not the answer.
It has not been good for the sport.
It's not. It's bad. And so with that, though, the quarterfinals were still solid, I think. Oregon proved a lot of people wrong. They proved me wrong and showed that they are legit. There were some major concerns with their offensive line that I think played extremely well. There were concerns about their defense holding up, and they've done their job, especially after the James Madison game when they gave up 34, right? They held Texas Tech, who averaged over 40 points a game this season, to zero, right? Then there's Indiana. I mean, this game, yes, Auburn fans clearly enjoyed it because the beatdown that Alabama took, the embarrassment that they displayed for themselves on the national stage, right? But most people watched this game in just pure amazement because of how Indiana won this game.
Yeah.
This wasn't Alabama throwing three pick sixes and just crumbling. This was them just being pushed around in all facets of the game, being outmanned, out-physicaled, out-schemed, out-coached.
Alabama got out-Alabama'd from what they usually do and have been doing since the quote-unquote dynasty of other teams. When you're sitting there watching other teams return it from 5 yards deep in their own end zone and only get to the 17-yard line, and you just sit there on the couch going, yeah, you can't do that against an Indiana team. You can't lack those little fundamentals. Or you look at running the football.
Oh, it's pitiful.
Alabama ran for 23 yards versus Indiana's 215. That's what Alabama used to do to other people. And so it just put you in a shock because you didn't think that what could possibly happen, although the numbers in just about every single facet of the game told you this could happen, you didn't expect it to that extreme.
Indiana ran for more yards than Alabama had total in the game. Think about that. Indiana ran the football for more yards than the Alabama offense gained altogether. And 38-3 doesn't even explain this game. I mean, you could have said 70-0 with how it looked. And it was like, yeah, I mean, just a freaking butt-kicking is what this game was. And Alabama is in serious trouble here. And so Indiana's legit, okay. How about Ole Miss, Georgia last
night? How
about
just the bottom side of the quarterfinal brackets?
They were great. Those games were awesome.
We talked about it, as did just about everybody else in America, saying the winner of the Fiesta Bowl was going to win the national championship of Ohio State and Georgia. And neither team made it.
Well, and I think a lot of people, too, going into it, myself included, said the two games on the top of the bracket were going to be much better than the games on the bottom of the bracket. Oregon, Texas Tech, and then Alabama, Indiana. On paper, those two games were way more intriguing than Ole Miss, Georgia, and Miami, Ohio State.
Sure.
But the results were completely flopped because of Ole Miss, Georgia last night, which ended up being an instant classic, and Miami taking down the $30-plus million roster of Ohio State.
I mean, Ohio State going into the college football playoff was right around plus 190 or plus 200 to win the national championship, meaning for those not in the betting world, and thankfully nobody is that listens because it's illegal here, you would double what you
– yeah.
Your walking away would be – double what you put in.
Which is not good odds for betting on
a national champion. Goes to show you how small that number truly was. Georgia was third at right around plus 500. And again, many people said that the winner of that game right there of Georgia and Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl would be the national championship game. Now, many are saying that it's the other way around. It's the game in Atlanta.
Yeah, and rematch. I think it is, absolutely. But man, hats off to the Ole Miss staff. Hats off to Pete Golding.
I'll say it. Lane Kiffin doesn't win that football game.
Last night?
No. Especially not coming out of the second. No. Lane Kiffin does not win that football
especially
game.
With some of the stuff that Georgia pulled, right? Fake punt, things like that.
Yes.
Going down and scoring and Ole Miss maybe scoring too quickly or whatever. And
oh,
Georgia
we talk about it.
And things like that. Yeah.
When Kawan Lacy scored and started doing the belt celebration, and it was like, all right, yep, there it is. Here comes 14 unanswered from Georgia. But Ole Miss got tested because Georgia went right down and scored, and Ole Miss did what they needed to do, and it didn't even take overtime.
And Ole Miss wasn't at their best. They didn't play the cleanest of game. Man, how many people thought that the field goal that they didn't get at the end of the first half was going to come back to bite them?
Or
I did.
Or going for two early in the second quarter, point hunting really, really early. You ended up getting a two-point conversion on the other side of things on the early in the fourth, I believe, to kind of even things out. But, yeah, they was sitting there going, all right, how many people is that 1 point going to affect in this contest?
Yeah, I mean, just goes to show that Georgia was not the Georgia that we thought they were. Still very good, but not the Georgia of old. And Ole Miss pulls off an incredible upset without their true head coach and now with their new head coach. And they go on to the semifinals. And then Miami, man, I have to eat it. They're a good football team. And their defense has always been good. That was never Jacob's concern, okay? Never, ever. That defensive line is nasty. And they bullied Ohio State. One of the worst offensive line performances I've seen Ohio State have in my 26 years of life. Like that was bad. That was really bad by Ohio State. And offensively, Ryan Day calling plays. History tells us that doesn't go well with head coaches with the play sheet in their hands. But I thought he did fine. But Carson Beck made plays. The offense made plays. Pick six helps by the former Auburn Tiger, Keontae Scott. But Miami was just the better team. And I have to give them flowers. Carson Beck, Mario Cristobal, nicely done. This was a hell of a win in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve. And they beat Ohio State. They didn't luck into this. Ohio State didn't do it to themselves. Miami beat them. And props to them. Do I think they win the national title? No. But I also didn't have them playing for a semifinal either. So props to Miami. Nicely done to take down Ohio State.
It's the one thing that the playoff committee is going to be able to hold over everybody. They're going to sit there and say, well, what about putting Alabama in? Did they deserve it? Oh, well, what about putting these G5 teams in? No. Oh yeah. Well, we did put Miami in, and look what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They went to College Station and gritted out an ugly win. They beat the number one team in the country, or the number one favorite to win the national championship. So how are you going to say that we didn't pick things appropriately? You've seen back to back really, really good games, and honestly, now five or six really, really good games from Carson Beck once he had a couple of those bad games in the middle of the season that gave Miami those really gross losses. But since then, I mean, even we sat there and discredited Pitt for the win that Miami had just because of how good Carson Beck looked. You've now seen him put together two really good performances in these college football playoff games. Every Miami fan and every college football fan, though, is waiting for that blow-up game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're waiting for it. You're waiting for Carson Beck to do Carson Beck things. He hasn't yet, and that's why they're in the semifinals. They'll take on Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl on Thursday, January 8th in Indiana and Oregon in a rematch from their regular season matchup. That's in the Peach Bowl on Friday, January 9th. We'll talk about those quickly when we come back, and we'll wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Final segment of hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. And one of us is leaving early today. I won't say who, but they claim they have better things to do, is what I was told off the air. So I'll let you guess which one that is. Imagine skipping the show. Imagine not being
here. Making up for lost time. I'm trying to even out the hours here a little bit.
Yeah, no, you got to dip out a little early. We're making a call to the bullpen, though. It's the guy we brought up from. I don't even know. What level of ball are we bringing this guy
from? We brought him
from
Double-A Columbus.
Yeah, he made the quick trip over, so I don't even think
he was
warmed
with
up.
The Clingstones. Pitched last night, actually. Through 2 1/3, and so...
Don't expect a whole lot.
No.
Yeah, don't expect a ton.
48 pitches, only 28 of them strikes, and so...
Can't even call this like an eat pitches guy. Like, it's not
no,
even...
No, it can't be an innings eater.
No.
It's kind of there and somewhat hopeful, but it's more of just like... We need one more good reason to let this guy go.
Yeah, this is like the last straw. You know what I mean? Like, just put this guy in. If he makes it work, he'll live to see another day.
He'll get one more chance.
No, we are calling in some backup for Christian, as he will have to dip out at the end of the first hour. But we do have somebody stepping in to be with me for the second hour. But the college football playoff semifinal is set, right? And we'll obviously talk about it a ton next week. When the games are on Thursday and Friday, you have Ole Miss
just like
and Miami.
The good Lord intended for college football.
So stupid, man. One game Thursday, one game Friday, because NFL playoffs are next weekend and the wild card has taken over.
Did you see Dan Lanning's comments in the postgame presser?
No.
Oh, man. Go ahead, set up the semifinals while I pull this up.
Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Friday, January 9th on ESPN. It's a rematch of the Oregon Ducks and the Indiana Hoosiers, where Indiana went to Eugene halfway through the season and beat Oregon by 10. That's right. Beat them 30-20. And reminder that 7 of those 20 points that Oregon scored were off a pick 6. Right, defensively. So, a fascinating game there that will now be the 4th regular season rematch we see in the college football playoff. Those being Alabama and Oklahoma, Ole Miss and Tulane, and then Georgia and Ole Miss last night. This will be the 4th that we see of the season. This will be the last that we see of this season as well. So that one's on Friday, and then Miami and Ole Miss are on Thursday. Early lines appear to be Miami -3, Indiana -4 is what it appears to be as of right now. I think those are pretty solid lines, honestly. Sounds about right to me, where I don't know. Dude, Trinidad Chambliss looked awesome last night. That dude was slinging it, and just a flick of the wrist to get that sucker 50 yards down the field. I mean, he looked very good. Think about the quarterbacks we have in the semifinals now. Dante Moore versus Fernando Mendoza, 2 top 5 picks, including a Heisman Trophy winner. And then Trinidad Chambliss and Carson Beck, right? There were a lot of people hoping for the Carson Beck-Georgia rematch, or not even a rematch, the matchup, I guess. Revenge game, if you will. But, I mean... Nobody had this Final Four. Nobody. I don't care. I don't care that it's only a 12-team bracket. There's not a soul out there that said Ole Miss Miami in that semifinal. Maybe Oregon Indiana. I didn't. I picked Texas Tech. I believe you did too. But that's not a crazy thing to pick Indiana and Oregon. But nobody picked Ole Miss and Miami to be in the Fiesta Bowl.
Dan Lanning's comments says, quote, "We have a ton of respect for the NFL. We are basically a prep league for the NFL now. We do a lot of favors for the NFL, but there's no money paid from the NFL to take care of college football, and now we have to give up some of our days for the National Football League. Saturdays should be sacred for college football. Every Saturday through the month of December should belong to college football and college football only."
Dan Lanning, college football guy.
I hate how much he's likable. I hate how good of a coach he is, and I hate how much just how good Oregon has it. He went on to say even more things about the calendar, saying that he thinks the final game should be played on New Year's Eve, and that should be it.
Yeah, gotta love Dan Lanning, man. All right, Christian, get out of here. We'll see you on Monday. We're back for another hour. Stick around. We got more portal talk and even some Auburn basketball. Stick around. Hour number 2 coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7.
ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 1067. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 1067, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Happy New Year. Happy Friday. Happy January 2nd. All the things. And man, we're just glad to be back with you. It's been a while since we've been on the air, and glad to be back. We've covered a ton already on today's show in the first 60 minutes, and so if you missed any of that, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. You'll find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. All sorts of great things there, past shows, and listen to the shows live and our contests and all sorts of great stuff. So check that out at ESPNAU.com in our podcast center, or you can find it wherever you get your podcast. As we talked about the transfer portal in hour number one, since today is the day. That's right, January 2nd. It is open, it is wild, and it is ever-changing. And so we talked a lot about the portal in hour number one. More on that coming up in just a moment. And we also talked about the college football playoff in hour number one as the quarterfinal games delivered in all sorts of ways. And we talked about that, broke it down, and did a little preview of the semifinals as well. All of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you could check it out again in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Christian Griffin just dipped out, had to leave a little bit early. He'll be back to normal schedule on Monday, but we did call in some relief, and we'll see how it goes. See how many pitches we get, how many innings we get. I mean, maybe get us a batter or two. I don't know.
Yeah, the arm's not hot right now.
I
woke up on a plane and was told I had to pitch tomorrow in the majors, and so I started warming up my left arm, and then remembered I was right-handed, and
that's terrible.
It's been a morning, man.
Hello, Jack Hutton. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, man. How you doing?
We are good. Good. Good to see you, my friend. And lots going on, of course, in the sports world. Jack Cutton, broadcast partner of mine on Auburn High football, voice of Auburn High softball, which is quickly approaching.
Yeah, baby.
And host of Game Day on Wings on Saturday mornings during college football season. Also host of After the Game on Wings 94.3 during college basketball season, which will get back up and running tomorrow as Auburn basketball takes on Georgia in the SEC opener. We will talk about that coming up in just a little bit because
sneaky little Georgia team.
Do you feel this way? We'll get more on this later, but yeah. I just feel like college basketball season has just been flying under the radar this season. Maybe for me, it definitely is for me. I don't know if everybody else feels that way because I love college basketball. I do. It's my favorite, if not anything else. But it just seems like it's just kind of been there. It hasn't been up in I don't know. It just hasn't been,
the
forefront.
Foresight.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. Maybe because Auburn isn't as good as they have been. I don't know. I don't know if everybody else feels that way.
Yeah,
but
I always felt like the non-conference, like about the first half of it, was a little overshadowed by college football. But then for a long time, I remember, like, especially in bowl season, it was always, you know, I'd watch a bowl game during the day, and then I'd watch college basketball at night.
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of that over the break, you know? It was
no.
I didn't see, and I'm sure that they were there, just I didn't watch as many of the, you know, what's the Diamond Head Elite Airlines tournament in Hawaii or something they do every year. Like, I used to love staying up and watching that.
Yeah. I think the expanded college football playoff has probably impacted that too, right? I mean, more playoff games for college football and things. But, conference play starts tomorrow for SEC men's basketball. It started yesterday for the women's side of things. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about that in the back half of this hour since the Tigers take on the Dogs tomorrow in Athens starting around 12 o'clock. We'll have more on that coming up in just a little bit. But we are diving back into the transfer portal because it's a topic and a conversation that we could have for days. and wouldn't even scratch the surface on what's going on in the transfer portal. And if you have thoughts on this, it's Free For All Friday. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number. If you'd like to be a part of the show that way, we'd certainly love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on the entries for Auburn in the transfer portal. Your thoughts on the six known returners for Auburn who will not be leaving in the transfer portal. Or anything else on your mind, you can give us a call. 334-321-1390. Or shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we discussed it a little bit in the first hour, Jack, but Auburn now up to, believe, 33 names that are going to be entering the transfer portal for the Tigers. And it's inevitable, right, when a new coach steps in and a new staff that you will have a mass exodus. But it's not so much about the amount of players that are leaving. It seems like it's the names that are leaving that have Auburn fans up in arms right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Obviously, the big one's Cam Coleman. I mean, that was huge to see that come across because that was right after we got some reports that, oh, it's looking good for both Auburn and Cam Coleman and coming to an agreement there. Some of these numbers that are being thrown around with what he's getting offered to go to Texas or, you know, A&M is now in on the sweepstakes, I think. Ohio State's even knocking at his door. Some of the numbers are, I mean, frankly, they're just ridiculous, Jacob.
Yeah.
$4 million, I think, is what I heard. And we won't spend a whole lot of time on that just because, I mean, we have no idea how to verify these numbers at all. But you start hearing numbers like that and you're
multi-millions.
Like, there's no way that Auburn is even close to entertaining that. I mean, you've got other stuff going on. I'm sure that the offer was very competitive at first. It does sound like the way that Auburn's going about their NIL now, more the incentive-based route and, you know, paying top dollar for these guys as long as they contribute. I think that that's scaring away some of the agents that are involved because that's not guaranteed money for the agents. You know, they're not making money based off the incentives. They're only making money based off the contracts. And so if you make $1 million just on a contract at an SEC school and the agent gets 10%, well, he's got $100,000. But if you've got another $1 million in the tank that you could make off of incentives, meanwhile, another school is offering $2 million, well, that agent's going to take the 10% where he gets $200,000 rather than, well, I'm going to take 100 G's and, you know, hopefully you perform well enough to get the rest.
Yeah, and, you know, the reports coming out before the holiday break about Auburn changing its NIL direction, not necessarily the amount of money, but how they're going to pay it out based, like you said, the incentive base and paying for production and things like that. That's tough to do as a new – well, let me say it this way. It's easy to do as a new coach and a new staff because you can come in and set the precedent, right? You can come in and set the standard, and that's just what it's going to be, and you have to like it. It's tough for Auburn fans because you're watching guys like Cam Coleman and Deuce Knight and some of those guys walk away and leave. And I feel like there's two arguments to that because one half says, well, you were 5-7 last year and you were bad the year before and you guys haven't produced anything, so why should we keep you around? I understand that. Totally do. The other side of that argument, or the other flip side of the coin, is – well, how much do you put that on Cam Coleman versus the staff he was playing for and the system that he was in, right? I think both things can be true at one time, Jack.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. I mean, there's so many reports out there nowadays that focus on, you know, your blue chip percentage and all that on your roster, and we can debate that all year long, but when it comes down to it, the majority of these teams that you're watching right now in the playoffs, they're in that top 10, that top 15 in the blue chip ratio. I know Indiana's an outlier right now, and that's really impressive what they're doing, but the majority of those squads have great rosters, and Auburn had that. They did. And they still have a really good one. I think that a lot of the bones that are left over from that Hugh Freeze and company staff are going to be really helpful. That was one thing that staff did that I think has changed Auburn for the better. Now the issue is some of these more elite players, you know, who buys into that incentive-based structure that Auburn's going to have to – that Auburn has said they're going to start going towards now. because I think for the most part, you know, you look at a guy like a Cam Coleman, I mean, he's going to demand those multi-million dollar figures. And so if one team's willing to pay it, and you're willing to pay it, but he's got to perform to do it, you know, honestly, if he's got no real connection to the school, I don't really know why you would take the non-guaranteed money.
Well, that's the problem, is there's always going to be somebody that'll pay it. That seems to be the direction we're going. I mean, this is a conversation that on this particular program we've been having for years. I mean, our buddy Carter, when he was with us, him and I had a big argument one time, or several times, about NIL and the direction, because it was the idea of, okay, will it just continue to grow and get out of control, or will the market finally settle itself down where schools realize paying this much money for kids that may or may not work out is not a great idea?
Mm-hmm.
We're going in the direction where teams like Ohio State and Texas A&M, they don't really care. They'll gamble. That's what they'll do. They're gambling.
I'll
pay you $3 million, Cam Coleman, in hopes that you reach your potential with us. It didn't happen at Auburn, but we think it can happen here.
I do agree. I don't think that that's the majority of players, though. And I think you're going to start seeing more and more schools. I mean, you know, Auburn's doing it. South Florida was doing it while they were coming up. And I know it's a money ball strategy, but it's this incentive-based structure. I think it's taking more of an effect in college ball. I think you'll still see the elite guys get that guaranteed figure money like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to see a little bit more money ball being played here with some of these, especially smaller schools.
Let's get to the phone lines here in hour number 2-334-321-1390. Mark, you're on the line, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, Happy New Year, folks.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, man.
The one thing, you know, and I get fans that are upset about how it's going, and then on the other hand, you've got some fans that say, okay, if they don't want to be here, leave, whatever. But the truth is, nobody knows what's going on behind the scenes. It's all, unless you're just a true insider and you're willing to put that at, you know, at risk by naming your sources or whatever, you know, nobody really knows. We don't know what Auburn offered Cam, do we actually know that? I mean, I know what has been reported, but there's a lot of things been reported.
Sure.
So my question is, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, thanks for the call, Mark. I don't necessarily
hold on.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're still there. Yeah. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think, I don't really think that there's a price tag on guys necessarily where we can look back and say, okay, this guy made this particular amount. But I think there's some tea leaf reading that you can do, and, you know, some where there's smoke, there's fire sort of stuff. I mean, look, I know that there's all sorts of numbers that go around about, oh, this guy got X number of millions of dollars. And maybe that's not the number, but I guess the point that's being made there is that when all the money gets worked out, that guy is being paid a whole lot of money, and there is a bidding war for him in the end. So maybe that's more of what I'm meaning when I say it's not just the dollar figure, it's how much he's making relative to what other teams are going to pay him.
Right. Well, the thing is, you know, Cam Coleman, Deuce Knight, neither one of those are going to break Auburn. I mean, it's not going to – you're not going to sign one person and all of a sudden, hey, we're in the, you know, contention for a championship. It's not how it works. You've got to use this NIL just like you use your family budget. You know, do I need offensive linemen? Okay, well, what good are quarterbacks if you don't have an offensive line?
Right.
And the same for the defensive line. You've got to budget that money on how you want to use it. Now, in my opinion, you know, just – for instance, if the Cam money has been reported and been mentioned, I'd rather have four or five offensive linemen for that price than I had Cam.
Totally agree.
You know, no offense to Cam, because Cam's a great receiver, and I get it.
Right.
But, you know, you can find receivers, especially in the offense that Alex Golish runs. It's not like you need that one superstar. You just need four, five, six good receivers that can catch the ball and hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
And one other thing is I wanted to mention, how good was yesterday? I worked with Alabama and Georgia fans. I got to see Alabama get slaughtered. I got to see Georgia get beat. And then to top it all off, Matt Austin's comments at the end of the Georgia game. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, he's talking about how he's been a part of a game before where they had to put a second back on the clock and an amazing play happened. So he was, yeah, that was fun to hear.
You know how that turned out. Yeah, that just topped off the day. That, how good of a day can that be for an Auburn fan?
For a team, for Auburn not being in it. Mark, we appreciate the call, my man. Good to hear from you. Happy New Year as well. 334-321-1390. Yeah, for Auburn not being in the college football playoffs, that's about as good as it gets to watch your two biggest rivals lose in the ways that they did. And then for myself, selfishly, for fans that are people that listen and know, I also got to watch Ohio State lose the night before, so I was a happy camper in the last couple of days. But I totally get where Mark is coming from, and I know he wasn't talking about Cam Coleman in specifics. He's talking about, rather than paying X player X amount of dollars, we can take that big chunk of money and go buy four pretty good players rather than one superstar. How many times have you seen this in professional sports, Jack?
Yeah.
You see it all the time. You see it all the time in the NBA and the NFL and all the in Major League Baseball, where the teams that can't be like the Dodgers and afford to buy every superstar, they decide, okay, do we want the ace or do we want two bullpen guys? Do we want a closer? Do we, you know what I mean? Do we want to?
It's why Moneyball is the greatest sports reference movie for this.
That's exactly what it is. We may not
be able to get, you know, the Jason Giambi, but what we can do is recreate him in the aggregate. And that means two or three guys that are going to put up the exact same production as that one guy. And oh, by the way, those two or three guys all combined cost less than that one guy.
Yeah. I'll also tell you, just to take a pivot here from Auburn for a second, to show you why college football is broken and the transfer portal is just out of control. You know the latest update that just came out 6 minutes ago? Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons will enter the transfer portal.
Wow.
He's on a current playoff roster of a Final Four team. A Miami receiver left the other day, a guy that doesn't play. You're talking about Austin Simmons.
Yeah.
A guy that saw action this year.
A guy that's one play away from coming in and being the guy on a team that is making a run of the national title. Like if Trinidad Chambliss, God forbid, goes down in this, in what is it, the Fiesta Bowl that they're in. If he goes down in the Fiesta Bowl, Austin Simmons is the guy.
He's the guy. And he's out. He said, nah, I'm leaving. Now, I wonder, I have not seen whether Austin Simmons has appeared in a couple of games in 744 passing yards. Wow, listen to this. This is from Pete Thamel. He's entering with a no-contact tag, which is always my favorite, with Missouri as the only team expected to be in, and Missouri is the team that's expected to land him.
Really?
So that's Austin Simmons sounds like he's going to Missouri, which is funny because DJ Lagway was tied to a Missouri a little bit earlier today. Missouri, Baylor, a couple of other teams in there. So sounds like Austin Simmons. Now, here's what I was looking for. He's expected to stay with Ole Miss for the remainder of the team's college football playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
So Austin Simmons has said, hey, I know I'm the backup, and if something goes wrong, I have to go win it for us, but I don't want to be here, and I'm going to go to Missouri when this season's over.
Hotty-totty. And let me put that in perspective, too. We don't even see that in professional sports.
No.
We don't see players commit to another team while they're still on one team. We see them get traded, sure. We see them go into free agency. We see a bunch of people say, yeah, I want to request a trade. But we don't see them say, I'm going to be playing at this other team next year. I'm just going to finish playing this year for this team.
Right. The system's not built for that to happen.
Yes.
But the transfer portal in college
athletics. And we allow it in college athletics.
It's so stupid, man. This is another example of just how broken the system is. Again, Austin Simmons, the backup quarterback for a Final Four Ole Miss team, has announced he's entering the transfer portal. Missouri seems to be the team that's going after him, but he's going to remain with the Rebels, just in case. I mean, just wild stuff, man. So, okay, we got to take a break. We'll come back and talk more portal stuff, talk about some of the guys who are leaving Auburn, but some of the ones that are returning. And the defense is going to be just fine. We'll talk about that as we're just underway here in hour number two during the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And more portal talk here, Jack, about players who are planning on leaving planning on coming back as well.
Right. I mean, you got a couple of the guys, like, for guys leaving, there's some guys that you could – you feel like you can make it without – like a Malcolm Simmons comes up, and there's been some tough stuff on him. But, you know, Amaris Williams is a guy that hurts. Couple of others that are on there, Malik Blockton goes. It was good that Auburn got some guys back last night that are on that defensive line. Jordan Crawford, Malik Autry,
yep.
Both announced that they're coming back. That's big. If you can get a Jared Smith to return and a J.J. Falk, you know, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And, man, it just seems like this is the Wild West until we get some sort of contract situation.
Yeah, two D linemen, four linebackers, right? Malik Autry, Jordan Crawford, as you mentioned, on the defensive line. This linebacker room is stacked.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's going to be the best in the SEC.
Xavier Atkins, DeMarcus Riddick, Elijah Melendez, and Bryce Deese.
It's the best in the SEC.
I mean, that is just unbelievable, with more possibilities to come in the secondary as well. So a lot of names that are leaving, but some big ones that are coming back for Auburn as of right now. Let's get to the phone lines once again, 334-321-1390. We got Charlie on the line. What's going on, man? Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. I got one strange thing to maybe bring up about Deuce Knight, and this is in this transfer portal thing. Just as an observation, if we were to sign the USF Florida quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and he were to come on board, odds are Deuce would not be playing next year. So it seems like we wouldn't want to pay him a lot of money as a backup. But what if Deuce were to go, say, back to, say, USF and play this year? And I think the if we got the USF quarterback, it's his last year, and he'd be done. And then if Deuce goes somewhere and gets action for a year at a team who can help build him a little bit, whoever that is, I mean, I don't see another SEC team signing Deuce. If he does, he's going to sit probably somewhere else he goes. But what if he goes get some action? Then our guy leaves because he's only got 1 year eligibility, and they bring Deuce back under a contract that's really good. That was just kind of a thought about how maybe – they could even manage the portal that way.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's a possibility, right, in this portal era. I mean, we've seen it a couple of times where a guy leaves his current program and then eventually comes back, right? I mean, you see that with some secondary guys and things like that I've seen around P4, P5. But, you know, with Deuce, it's one of those things where –
is he burning bridges?
Yeah, and that too. I mean, it's just, it's an unfortunate event that it never worked out here, because when he signed, it was such a big deal, right, Charlie? And Auburn fans saw it as the quarterback of the future. And if Hugh Freeze had worked out and been what we thought he was going to be, that probably would still be the case, because he would be the quarterback in waiting and would probably be ready to go next year. But yeah, I think for Auburn, it just didn't make sense to pay a guy whatever he wanted to pay or was wanting to get paid for someone who may not even start next
Charlie,
year.
Charlie, I will mention this too. Boston College is probably a team at least to look out for in that recruitment. You got former Auburn kind of GM, sort of director of recruiting, Kenyatta Watson. He went back up to Boston College because that is his alma mater. And so, you know, if you're thinking about a not necessarily a non-P4 school, because Boston College is an ACC school, but if you're thinking about a smaller school like that, he could go up there. And, you know, if Auburn likes him enough next year to reach back out, maybe so. But that's one thing that I'm interested in seeing about is what's the future look like for Auburn at quarterback.
Right. Thanks, guys. I just wanted to bring that up as like a possible thought for what these coaches are thinking going into the future. Like, hey, I don't want to pay somebody to sit, but if they want to go somewhere and prove them, maybe we'll bring them back.
Right. No, it's a great point, Charlie. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate the call as well. Yeah, transfer portal there. Here's the problem on our way out here. There's no set formula for every player, every position, every school. Every situation is different. And there's millions of unique deals and situations happening, which makes it extremely difficult to analyze, talk about it, and break down as well. And as much fun as the transfer portal is to talk about, we are going to pivot again on this Free-for-All Friday, because SEC play starts for college basketball tomorrow, when we talk about that as Auburn heads to Athens.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Jack Hutton filling in for Christian Griffin here in hour number two. We appreciate you being along for the ride. Our first show back in 2026. That's right. But off for, a week and a half, 2 weeks or something like that. And back in action today. And then, of course, we'll be back on Monday in full swing for basketball season, transfer portal, college football playoffs, you name it, we got it. And so, speaking of college basketball, Mr. Hutton, SEC play is here. That snuck up on us, didn't it? I mean, how crazy is that, that SEC play in college basketball begins tomorrow? Conference play has already started in conferences like the Big Ten, who play two games early in December, and then their conference restart is tonight for
most
teams.
Do you like that? I don't like it.
Yeah, but they don't have a choice. They have so many teams now that they don't have an option but to squeeze a couple of games in December and then start back up again in January. No, I don't like it at all.
Something about that just always didn't feel right to me.
You're not ready for Big Ten. You're not ready for conference play less than a month into the season.
Yeah.
You're just not ready for that.
Imagine a kind of a middle of the road team in the Big Ten. I mean, give me maybe a Northwestern or somebody that, is kind of on the bubble perennially. And, they get into late December sometimes, congratulations, your first Big Ten game is at Purdue.
Yeah.
And you have
You're
to
just
do
not
that
ready
in December.
For
that.
I don't like it because you play two Big Ten games and then you play another 3, 4, 5 conference or non-conference games. Then you go into the holiday break and then it's let's start Big Ten play again. By the way, we already have two games under our belt.
Yes, exactly. You're 0-2 because you went at Purdue and
hosted
Michigan
State.
Exactly, or Michigan. I mean, just
right. I don't like it, but conference play is here. And I feel like we talked about this at the start of the hour. And if you have thoughts on Auburn basketball, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number, or you could shoot us some predictions and thoughts for Auburn, Georgia tomorrow in our on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. We talked about it at the start of the hour about college basketball just not feeling like it's got the spotlight that it has the last couple of years, for me personally. And I think it's because Auburn isn't as good as they have been. And that's not knocking them. I think that's just a fact. I think it's the truth. I mean, it was the idea that this team lost so much and had to rebuild almost from scratch, other than Tahad Pettiford. And the biggest of big games that you've played in, you haven't won. You beat St. John's. That game and that win is solid, but it's not great. The Oregon win is not good at all now. That team is 7-6 now. Yeah. Are the Oregon Ducks.
The NC State win looks not so bad. I mean, it is right on the verge of a Q1, and so you're hoping that if the Wolfpack play well, maybe that gives you another Q1 win down the stretch. But you're right, there's the top-level games, none of them have gone your way.
Yeah, and so I feel like maybe there's some disconnect there from Auburn fans, myself included, to this Auburn basketball team. But I am excited for the start of conference play because this is when stuff really ramps up. January to mid-March, the next 2.5 months, you figure out who everybody is. You figure out, talking about Auburn in particular, you're going to know exactly what this team is. You're going to know what their strengths are, their weaknesses are, even more so than we already do.
Yeah, yeah. My thinking on it right now, I think there's a level of which that you can be pretty optimistic for this team. And I know that there's some concerns about, post-presence and maybe a true backup point guard, and that third scoring threat. Who's going to take that over? Looking more and more like Elijah Freeman, but that's a conversation for another day. I think that when you look at just overall expectations for the SEC schedule, I think the thing to look forward to is we're going to see what this gauntlet of a schedule has done for Auburn. Because we've seen in the non-conference, the SEC has not been particularly good. It hadn't been bad, but it's not like the previous years where boy, the SEC was just up in arms, and there was no getting past how great they were. And the SEC was getting 9, 10 teams into the tournament, 11, 12. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that many teams getting in this year. I think you could get about 7, maybe an 8th team in this year.
Bracketology says 10 as of right now. That was updated 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And Auburn's going to be right there. I mean, the interesting thing about this is we're talking about how, you know, this Auburn team is not as good as they have been in previous years. Do you think that a seed higher than a 9 seed is on the table? Because if so, this Auburn team is better than that first year of Jani Broome's team when you had Wendell Green, you had Jani Broome on that squad. I believe that was Chad Baker Mazzara's first year. So, I mean, that was a team that, yeah. No, it didn't win at all, but they won a tournament game, and it was still a semi-successful season for Auburn basketball.
Yeah, according to ESPN's Bracketology, again, this was updated on the 30th, so coming out of non-conference play and into the start of conference play across the country, Auburn is an 8 seed right now in the tournament. And
about right.
I think that's about right. It sounds low, but then you start thinking 4 teams per seed line, and you start, you know, 6 seed is the top 24, right? And so Auburn is not a top 25 team, I don't think, right now. That basically puts you around a top 30, 35 team, which I think is probably right at their peak, right? I think when Auburn is playing their best basketball, they can be a top 30, top 25 team in the country. We just haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'd even say that they're better than that when they're playing at their best. I mean, we saw...
What's Auburn's best game so far this year? Their best performance this
year? I'd say either the St. John's game, or I'll tell you, I mean, honestly, the other one could be that Houston performance.
Yeah.
You're what, an inch away from calling that a win instead of a one-point loss to Houston? I'd say that's probably, you know, the NC State game's up there, but that was at home. So I'd say those 3 are probably your best performances.
The thing we're seeing right now with this Auburn team that we haven't seen in recent years, and I think this is why there's such a stain on what Auburn is doing, is the ugly losses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Houston loss, like, I hate this term, but it does apply here, unfortunately. Good loss. That's a good loss. You lost by 1 to that Houston team.
On a neutral floor.
Yeah, I know they're not the Houston of old. They're still very good, okay? But Auburn hasn't had blowout losses like they have this year, where 3 of your 4 losses are by 20, 30, 40 points. Like, that just hasn't happened.
At least in conference play. I mean, we can go back and look at, you know, the first Final Four season. I mean, Auburn got beat by 30 by Kentucky.
Well, in non-conference play,
a month
is what
before.
You mean.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm, at least in non-conference play.
Right.
We hadn't really seen that.
And so there's always, I guess I'm basically figuring this out as we talk it through.
Sure.
We haven't had a whole lot of discouragement going into SEC play. Is that fair to say?
Sure. Yeah.
We've typically, in the last handful of years that Auburn basketball has been good, there's been a lot of positivity and confidence going into conference play of, all right, well, if Auburn can win 2/3 of their SEC games and go on a run here and a stretch here and get an upset here and win some big, you know what I mean? We've always had that sort of confidence going into conference play. But for me personally, I don't have that right now because I haven't seen it several times. I've seen more bad than good from this Auburn team. Mm-hmm. Even with the win against Queens where you drop triple digits and you win by, what, 41 points or whatever it was. I mean, that's cool, but man, SEC play is not going to be easy. And it starts with a tough game tomorrow in Athens, Georgia.
Well, Carson Meyer and I will talk about this. Not tomorrow. Carson's not going to be back quite yet, but Christian joining us tomorrow. We'll talk about kind of the game and everything, but I think one thing that we're going to touch on is, you know, how does this Auburn roster, what do they do to really get the most out of themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great talent. You know, I mean, I think at just about every position, you can find a guy or two that you feel good about putting out there and saying, yeah, I like him as a starter. I think he can get it done. Problem is, I don't know if they've figured out how to do it all together yet, though. And I don't know if that takes a full season. I don't know if it is going to take longer than that, and Auburn's going to have to wait till next year to be any good. But I do think that Auburn's got – I mean, You got a Tahad Pettiford at one. You feel comfortable there. You got a Keyshawn Hall at a three. You know, you feel really good about that. Maybe even Elijah Freeman. You know, you throw him out there at either a – he's a three, but maybe put Keyshawn Hall at a four or, heck, maybe even a big two sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, KO takes
Yeah, yeah exactly. You're right. Keyshawn Murphy's another one down low at a five. So you have, you know, a stable of guys that you feel like – yeah, that's SEC caliber. That's good. We can make a tournament like that. We can be really good like that. Problem is, I just don't know if they've been able to do it together yet, and I don't think that the inside presence is going to be what you need it to be to make a deep run.
And then you look outside of that starting five of Tahad, KO, Keyshawn Hall, Elijah Freeman, Keyshawn Murphy. If that's just your five best players to put on the floor, what do you have behind that? Right. Yeah. That's where you're really struggling right
Freshman,
now for Auburn.
I mean, Sebastian Williams Adams has been playing well. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a Caden Magwood gets going for you.
Simon Walker's your shooter, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you've got dudes there just not proven, right? And so that's what Auburn is lacking compared to what they've had in previous years. Tigers 9-4 on the season so far. Again, SEC opener is tomorrow against Georgia. That game starts at noon. You can listen to the radio broadcast over on our sister station, Wings 94.3, within after the game coming up as soon as their broadcast is done with postgame on the Auburn Sports Network with Andy Burch and Randall Dickey on the call. You look at what Auburn's SEC schedule is. I want to remind people what this schedule looks like. We'll kind of break this down here for a moment. First couple of games are tough, but not undoable, right? Or that's not the word I'm looking for. Not unwinnable. Maybe that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
On the road at Georgia, who, for people who haven't looked at the top 25 recently, they're ranked. That's a 23rd ranked team in the country, Georgia.
But I'd say unproven.
Yeah.
For the most part, Georgia has not played the schedule that Auburn has.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that definitively, Georgia has not played the schedule Auburn has.
Yeah, but still top 25, at least for now, right? You go on the road, you come back for Texas A&M, you host Arkansas next Saturday, which is awesome. That's a good Arkansas team, man. That's a very good Arkansas team, one that I like right now to win the SEC. I said that probably a month ago, and I'm sticking with that at least for right now. So at Georgia, home for A&M, home for Arkansas, and at Missouri. That's your first four games in SEC play. You then host South Carolina. You go on the road to Ole Miss, on the road to a top 25 Florida team, and then you host Texas. All right, that's your next four. You then hit four straight top 25 games as of right now. At Tennessee, home for Alabama, home for Vanderbilt, who is the SEC's highest-seeded team as a two-seed right now in bracketology, and then on the road at Arkansas. All right? You then go at Mississippi State, home for Kentucky, at Oklahoma, home for Ole Miss, then you wrap up home against LSU and on the road at Alabama. There are favorable stretches in there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There are tough stretches in there. There are tough home games, tough road games, but that's just the SEC, but it's not just the craziest of crazy schedules that we've seen in the SEC.
No, I don't either, man. You know, I think you avoid going to Rupp in there in that stretch. I don't think Vandy is here, correct? That's not you're not going to Nashville to play that game.
Vanderbilt comes here. Vanderbilt comes here.
And Arkansas, you know, I know you got to go on the road, but you also get a game against them here, and so you know you feel like if you can split with them in the regular season, you feel like that goes well. Yeah, Alabama's another one that you split with. I know you got to go to Tuscaloosa, but you get them here for another game. So, I mean, it's that kind of season where I think you've got a lot of your tougher opponents. You got them at home. And you got to go on the road some. I mean, you know, this at Georgia's not going to be any cakewalk. But, I mean, you come back and you get Texas A&M and Arkansas at home. If you can feel good about your home games, and then you get Missouri and South Carolina, two teams that are not going to be the top of the league this year. You know, am I out of my trees here to say that 4-1 is not that far gone of a prediction
to start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be playing well.
Yeah, but I mean, that would be what, splitting your two top 25 teams, either Georgia on the road or Arkansas at home, and then beating A&M at home, Missouri on the road, and South Carolina on the road.
Yeah, I don't think that that's unreasonable to say.
I don't think so either. And going to Oxford is not going to be – that's an 8-5 Ole Miss team. They're 8-5. They lost four in a row to Iowa, Utah, Miami, and St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
The team that Auburn beat was St. John's, right? Yeah. And then they lost to NC State, who Auburn also beat. So yeah. You feel like you can even go a little further, right, with some early predictions and say Auburn could go 5-1 in that stretch. Road game at Florida on a Saturday afternoon, that's tough. I'm not giving you that right now. But mm-hmm. What has Auburn shown that gives you confidence for them to go and break the streak inside that building?
But even, I mean, you go down there and let's say you drop that one.
5-2.
The prediction is 5-2. Let's
Texas
say even you drop one. Oh, there you go. Yeah, 6-2. I mean, let's say even you drop one that you don't think you're 5-3 to start SEC play.
It's not terrible.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm telling you, the schedule's there for Auburn to win 10, 11 games in the league this year still.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't think that just because Auburn's down this year means that they're not going to win as many games. Oh, 8 or 9 wins is all they'll be able to get. I don't think so. I think you got to look at the schedule and you know, extrapolate a little more.
We'll take a break. We'll come back for our final segment here on the Friday edition of On the Line. We'll talk about Auburn and Georgia tomorrow as the Tigers head to Athens, a place that has been favorable at times and has been miserable at times as well, and how the Tigers can start SEC play 1-0 by pulling off an upset. We'll have that for you and wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Jack Cudden filling in on the second hour of today's show. Christian Griffin was here in the first hour. He'll be back on Monday, as will I, and as we all will be on Monday. All the shows were back today, and then, as we said, Monday back to a full normal week of shows, and we'll be that way for quite some time. So we appreciate you being here and spending your Friday with us, whether you had a full day of work, half day of work, no day of work, doesn't matter to us. We're happy you're here, and man, we've had a ton of fun catching up on so much news, and we haven't even hit on a quarter of it, it feels like. And so that's the good thing, is we will be back on Monday to continue talking about the transfer portal and the college football playoffs and recruiting and, of course, college basketball, which is what we have ended today's shows with, because SEC play begins tomorrow. A couple of great games in college basketball tonight, Jack. I don't know if you've looked at the slate, but a couple of good Big Ten games, Big 12 games, top 25 game between USC with Chad Baker-Mazzara and Michigan tonight, so that'll be fun. You've got a couple of good games, West Virginia and Iowa State in there. How about a top 15 matchup in the Big Ten? Number 9, Michigan State heads to undefeated number 13, Nebraska tonight.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
In college basketball. So it's on, man. It really is. And Auburn heads to Athens tomorrow to take on Georgia in the SEC opener. Tip-off set for 12 o'clock noon. You can listen to the radio broadcast on our sister station, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com. That Radio Alabama app, and then as soon as the Auburn Sports Network postgame show is over, about 30 minutes after the game, goes live on Wings 94.3. Jumpin' Jack Cutton will have you there. Christian Griffin will be filling in with you. Carson Meyer coming back from Christmas break, and then after that, it's you and him the rest of the way. So you guys will have the one-hour call-in show talking all things Auburn basketball, win or lose tomorrow against the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yep, we'll go live right after the Auburn Sports Network's postgame is done, and so you can listen to Andy that whole crew, and then it'll come back to us.
Yep.
And then we can take you through an hour or so of the hottest opinions there are. Give us a call tomorrow. We'll have the call line for you tomorrow there. But over on Wings 94.3 right after the game, yeah, stay with us, and we'll take you through all that.
Predictions for tomorrow, Auburn and Georgia. Other games in the SEC very quickly here. I know we haven't talked much about other teams and games going on across the country tomorrow. But SEC opener, all right, tomorrow, all day Saturday. Of course, Auburn and Georgia at noon. How about Kentucky heading to Tuscaloosa tomorrow, 11 a.m. on ESPN? Kentucky not ranked, Alabama top 15 in the country, so that kicks everything off. Vanderbilt, the best team in the SEC statistically right now, undefeated, top 15 in the country. I told you, the 2 seed in bracketology right now. Seems a little high, but we'll see. They're on the road at South Carolina.
I just don't know who they've played.
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't.
I don't get why that's so high. I mean, winning 15 games, that's tough to do in the non-conference schedule. I get it, but
I'm not giving you credit for beating UCF and Wake Forest and Memphis. I'm not going to do it. But we'll see what happens. They head to South Carolina. Top 20 matchup in the SEC tomorrow afternoon. Basically, as soon as Auburn and Georgia are done, 19th ranked Tennessee, 18th ranked Arkansas from Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville. That'll be a lot of fun. Ole Miss, Oklahoma, LSU, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Texas, and then Florida and Missouri. But your predictions, Jack, on Auburn and Georgia, where the Dogs are favored by 4.5 tomorrow, 12 o'clock noon.
Yeah, it scares me a little bit. This Georgia team, I don't think that they are Arizona, but they play a lot like them. They get the ball inside a lot. They're very good from two. They're not good from three, but they are very good from two. Play good defense. Their post defense is really good. Auburn's gonna have to make shots. I'll take Auburn just because it's fun. But I think for it to happen, you'll have to get one of those Tahad Pettiford, 25, 26 point games where he's just lights it up from beyond the arc. And then I think you're gonna have to get all five guys rebounding tomorrow. I mean, Elijah Freeman gonna be big for you. Keyshawn Hall. Keyshawn Murphy, I think, has got to stay out of foul trouble. And that's going to be a theme for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Auburn's got to keep Keyshawn Murphy healthy and out of foul trouble because, frankly, I don't know what Auburn has behind him. I know you're trying to get Philip Jovic going. To be frank, I'm just not sure he's ready.
And Opurim is out now for the year with the health scares. And so, rebounding is big for me on the road, obviously. But this will be one of the few times this season that Auburn can win the rebounding battle in the SEC where you're not just going to be completely outmatched. Yes, Cyril is big at 6'11". He only grabs 6 boards a game.
Yeah, exactly.
6 boards a game for him, 5 for Blue Kane, and 5 for Dylan James. Like, Auburn can win the rebounding battle tomorrow. And if you do that and limit Georgia's possessions, you have a chance to win. I just can't pick Auburn until I see them do it against a quality opponent. And I think Georgia is. I think they can fill it up for sure. I'll take Georgia to win. And if Auburn pulls off the upset, then I'll tip my cap and we'll be excited and we'll talk about
it. Squad one opportunity tomorrow.
Yep, no doubt. So that's on Wings 94.3 tomorrow at noon, followed by After the Game on Wings 94.3. So stay tuned there all day long. Then we're back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. For Christian Griffin, who's not here, Jack Cutton filling in, I'm Jacob Goins. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you being here. We're back on Monday. Until then, stay safe. We'll talk to you later.